Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here, and we're about to go live on our Wednesday night Big Brother recap. But first, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsors over at DraftKings.com, because fantasy football is back and DraftKings.com isn't messing around, nor should they be, because DraftKings.com is America's favorite one-week fantasy football site where you could win enormous cash prizes every week. You've already researched the players for your season-long fantasy team, and God knows there are some players I wish I could put that button and have a reset on, but I can't unless I played on DraftKings.com, because I could be turning the knowledge of what I know now into instant cash at DraftKings. Last year, somebody played and turned $11 into $4,000 in a weekend. Somebody else won $100,000 in their first time ever playing, and somebody else won $1 million in one day just playing fantasy football. Keep your season-long league where it is, but also play one-week fantasy football at DraftKings.com to win huge cash this weekend. Hurry and get free entry into the Millionaire Maker event, where first place takes home $1 million. Head over to DraftKings.com now. Enter promo code Rob to play free to become a millionaire if you win. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter Rob for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who is about to take a week off and just play you all the podcasts from last week, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our live show here on Wednesday night, Wednesday of quote-unquote eviction night in the Big Brother house, and we are here live after episode number 35 of Big Brother 16, and we're going to talk about everything that happened as we recap the end of the week that wasn't and the start of the end of dress rehearsal week. And it's the start of a week that counts in the Big Brother house. Don't take those for granted anymore. Here we go. So let's bring in our panel here tonight. First, let me bring in our man who has been covering the live feeds. And luckily, he's seen all the live feeds already this week, so he could take a week off too. Brian Lynch, how are you?
I'm well, Rob, but I think I'll have to watch the feeds because this week's events will be different, just like in Groundhog Day.
Yeah, I don't know, Brian. Isn't watching the same exact thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome the definition of insanity?
Yes and no, depending on if you're insane or not.
I guess so. I guess so. And so let's bring in another contributor here tonight. You know him from a bunch of different podcasts across the RHAP networks. He podcasted with me about Last Comic Standing. And you can also hear him as well currently podcasting about Once Upon a Time with the tabulator, Kurt Clark, over on Post Show Recaps. Here he is. Give it up for Mr. Mike Bloom.
It's been so long since I've heard that. Great. I'm so happy. I'm so grateful to be here. I just brought a big diesel truck for you guys. It's full of tarantulas. We're ready to go.
All right. Yes, that's right. Of course, Mike is alluding to the stunt that we're going to be doing on my recap of the season finale of The Quest. I am going to be putting my genitals into a box filled with tarantulas and letting them crawl all over them. That's what you guys voted for. So we'll have to check that out. It's called it's Face Your Fears Week on Rob's Podcast.
Exactly. So you have the genitals, Brian. I don't know what your fear is, so I'm excited to hear about it.
What the hell is going on with Julie Chen? Now, when did she become like Super Dave Osborne crossed with David Blaine? Why is she just dumping buckets of water on her head and then putting her head in a box filled with tarantulas? What is going on at CBS, Mike?
I think part of it is that the producers have just kind of, I don't want to say given up, but I feel like they've partly just kind of decided, okay, let's just dedicate parts of this show that obviously isn't working for us to other things. I feel like almost every week is like this week in Julie Chen. Like this week, Julie does the ice bucket challenge. This time she's going to face her fears, so help out with that. Next week, she's going to skydive onto a target in the middle of the desert.
Well, it's so much fun to be Julie Chen. You know, Julie Chen can be really fun sometimes. If you ever watch her on The Talk, she's not fun on Big Brother. It was like a classic Julie Chen moment where there was like the moment where they had the Cody was talking about how like he thought that the whole show was going to end in the matter of a week. And he's like, oh my God, I can't believe it. I could be meeting Julie Chen on Wednesday. Oh my God, I can't take it. And then she just cut to Julie Chen and she wasn't like, well, isn't that special? You know, she just goes right into, all right, when we come back, like they're talking about her.
I've been dipping a little bit due to the, you know, the great job that are happening on the reality for Hap Ups. I've been dipping a little bit into the BB UK and the BB Australia these past few months. And I feel like the hosts there are so much more engaging. I feel like they don't run on a track as Julie might. But I feel like they're just generally more amicable hosts, kind of like a little more Arissa Cox than Julie Chen. Granted, I'm not a big fan of Arissa Cox. I think she's a little hokey. But they're definitely swinging in her direction of like actually interacting with them and not kind of treating them as like a player in the game, more like a person who happens to be in the house.
All right. And Mike, one more question as we're getting set up here tonight. Brian mentioned that it's Groundhog's Day in the house. If this really was Groundhog's Day in the Big Brother house, what would the contestants have to do to advance to the next week?
That's a good question. Frankie probably thinks he would have to like expose himself. Again, he probably thinks he had to like streak across the house, which I'm surprised he hasn't already. Maybe Derek will take it as a sign of like history is repeating itself. This means I have to take out Cody, and then we'll see Derek ultimately fail at the ideas of time travel.
Okay, well, we'll see exactly what ends up happening on the new week, the end of the practice week, the start of we're doing it for real now. And so we are taking your questions here, of course, in the chat room here on robhasawebsite.com, on Twitter with the hashtag RHAP, and on YouTube with our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. Okay, let's start with our top story here tonight, where we finally got the details of this. All week long, we were a little bit confused on what was going on, or at least I was. Maybe there were people in the know that knew exactly how this was going to play out. But so we just erased the fact that there was an HOH this week. And last night on the show, Brian, you and I and Spencer talked about how, well, they're not just going to do the same challenges over again. I mean, why would they do that? But, Mike, tonight they ended up doing exactly that. It's the same exact challenges over again.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if they're really committing to this rewind theory, I guess that it's just going along with that. But it's not going to make for terribly interesting television unless there's a big shift. I think the big shift is going to come in the veto, personally, because if it's the same answers, it's basically going to be who can remember the answers the fastest. And that could be a total crapshoot to who wins it.
Brian, what do you think about all of this? I mean, was this just in the interest of fairness? Did Big Brother like how the week turned out and they want to repeat those results?
They probably had just too many freak show morph pictures and they just wanted an opportunity to do that twice. And we haven't done that in forever. So maybe that's not what it is, but I mean, I have no idea why they're doing this.
It's very interesting, and we'll see what they do in the veto competition, if they have more freak show pictures or if they're going to do the same exact freak show pictures, because Frankie smoked everybody in that competition. I actually think if you're going to see something different this week, I think it's more likely that we get a different HOH than somebody else beating Frankie in the veto. He did it so fast.
That's true. Also pretty quick, right?
Well, I'm sorry, say that again?
Derek was also pretty quick with the morph comp. So
yeah, Derek lost by like 20 seconds.
Okay, so we'll see ultimately what ends up happening. Do either of you guys, let's lock in our answers. Does a different outcome happen at this final five than would have happened had the vote been tonight? So basically, does somebody besides Victoria go home? Brian?
No.
Mike?
Yes.
Yes, what is that outcome?
Oh, that's tough. Part of me feels like with the sort of whispers going around the house this week about Frankie kind of realizing that Derek might not be the best person to take to the end, I feel like this might be the time when the boys realize it's time to really turn on each other. Just because Final Four is going to be so pivotal for that one person that wins the veto, I think they're a little too paranoid to let that happen and let all four guys go to the Final Four. So something tells me Victoria will still go up, but it'll be someone like Frankie or maybe even Cody going home.
Okay. So we'll see what ends up happening. Brian, I thought they were going to get a dog tonight. They're saving
they
that for...
They did get a dog.
Yeah. They did get a dog, but they're just going to save it for the weekend?
I guess they just... Maybe they tanked the whole footage and we might see it later on a whatever.
Was the dog so boring? I mean, how boring could the dog have been that they cut it from this show?
The dog was whining to get out. The dog didn't want to be around the people.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right. So let's talk about some of the things from before we got to the vote tonight. So we talked about this last night about how is Derek possibly somebody who the people in the House don't think has a chance to win the game? And we talked about can the people in the jury house get enough votes from the people in the jury house? Now, it definitely seems like to the guys that are left in the House, they all feel like that they can beat Derek. But we did see a shift when we got to the jury house that the people in the jury house seem to think Derek can win and should win. Brian, how does that happen? How do people go from when they're in the house, they don't think Derek can win, and they get to the jury house, and then they say, oh yeah, Derek is the winner?
It is very rare that all secrets don't come out in the jury house because no one's going to the jury house holding on to these secrets because they might have an advantage later on down the line in the game. And people can pretty much triangulate exactly what's going on in the game through the lenses of the jury house, if you will.
So one of the really interesting parts of the show tonight, Mike, was this scene between Derek and Victoria. And I just don't really get Victoria's motivation in all of this where, you know, they basically told Victoria, like, hey, you're going out fifth, but you know what? There is something that we could still do. If you tell everybody that you don't like me anymore, then that would help my game. And then I would get more votes in the end that would help me win the game. And it would benefit you in zero way whatsoever. But can you do this for me? And she's like, well, it's going to be hard to pretend I don't like you, but I'll do it.
Well, let's remember here, Victoria has declared herself the Batman, the vigilante hero of the house. I think in her warped perspective of a world, she's probably like, I will fall on my sword. This is my cross to bear for my partner, for my subservient man, Derek. And she probably thought like, well, if I do this, then maybe he'll be so grateful that he won't vote me out. I mean, I guess better that than not campaigning at all, which I guess was the other option, which apparently she still did anyway. I mean, I see no benefit to her game at all, but this is also Victoria we're talking about. So she's kind of her own enigma of a person at this point.
She is the Dark Knight.
Yes, she's the Dark Knight, but like all the other Knights of the Round Table are like talking and like plotting, you know, to fight evil, and then Victoria is on her horse in a field somewhere, like trotting around.
Now, of course, Mike, you also are a podcaster on the Survivor Historians podcast, which you do with Mario Lanza and Jay Fisher. And so on your Survivor experience, is there somebody that Derek reminds you of that in Survivor terms, like a Brian Heidick or a Kim Spradlin or a Boston Rob or somebody else, somebody in particular that reminds you of his game?
It's interesting because I would say, like, Frankie kind of has the personality of Todd Herzog, but Derek has the gameplay choices of him. In terms of, like, Derek is able to make these big strategic moves, but be extremely complimentary about them. Diving so much into Survivor history, let's look at the final tribal council of Survivor China when Jean Robert comes to Todd and is like, you blindsided me. You got rid of me. I trusted you. What happened? And you know, Todd says, you were a threat. Like, you were too dangerous, so I had to take you out. He butters up these jurors so much. It's a little bit of Chris Doherty as well. But I feel like Todd had that personality throughout of being able to, like, slowly, you know, talk sweet nothings into somebody's ear as he slips the knife in their back.
The one person that Derek seems to remind me of from the Survivor perspective, especially with Victoria, is this whole thing reminds me of Brian Heidick with Jan Gentry, where Brian took Jan aside and said, you know, hey, Jan, you're going to be top three, and that's pretty good. She's like, okay, that's, I guess so.
Yeah, that's a little bit with, like, Boston Rob and Amber with Rupert and Jenna as well. And, in fact, that whole alliance basically, like, you know, Alicia didn't really, I don't think she really thought that she was going to make it to the final two. Rupert and Jenna were completely fine being fourth and third, and it shows because they were two of the only people to vote for Boston Rob as the winner because they were very complacent with their roles and they were totally fine with it. So I guess in that perspective, Derek's kind of playing the Boston Rob game, but not as up front. So maybe it's a combination of Boston Rob and Amber a bit.
Let me consult my copy of the BR rule book and see if there's anything. If there's anything about 5,000 holas in here. All right, I'll have to go through this later on and check that out. So, Brian, how terrifying do you think it was tonight to Amber? Amber, not Amber Berkich, Mariano. Amber Bertozza, to watch that scene where Caleb snuck up on Cody in the shower.
That wasn't scary to her at all. I'm sure she's probably happy that he has another target. I think he actually mentioned something about, who was it? Mila Kunis?
Yes, yes. Yeah. That's what was going to happen when he pushed the button. That after I push that daggone button, four new celebrities are going to come into this house. I'm tired of playing the game all summer with just one celebrity mogul in here. I want four new ones. Mila Kunis, she's going to come in here and have an arranged marriage to me and be my slave wife for the rest of her life.
He does realize that Mila Kunis is probably like 7 months pregnant at this point, right? And hey, that she's in a committed relationship with Ashton Kutcher.
Whatever.
I invented pregnancy.
I'm going to put that baby up for beast mode adoption, and then we're going to start over. Sorry, Ashton.
You got punked.
You got punked now. Beast mode cowboy is moving in. That 70s show. Yeah, I'm the beast mode swan. Okay. Yeah. Maybe he didn't know about the Mila Kunis pregnancy.
Yeah, I don't remember when when the news came out. I think it was probably like in May or June that at least they found out that they were together. But I don't know. I don't know how closely he follows the news. Maybe he just like watches her in pictures from afar. But that was another time when that stalker promo could have come up at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah. Would Big Brother, I guess they did it with Tori Spelling. Maybe Caleb is thinking that they would do it for everybody in the house. So find your favorite celebrities and then we'll have them come in. I mean, that God bless Tori Spelling for coming in to see Adam, but I think it's probably terrifying for some of these celebrities to, hey, we found your biggest fan and we've locked them in a house for 3 months. They're ready to meet you. Don't worry, we'll come right in if something happens.
I'm pretty sure that's
don't show them any clips of them.
Yes, yes. We have your biggest fan in here. His name is Beast Mode Cowboy. He can't wait to meet you and so he can marry you.
I'm pretty sure that's the plot of Misery.
Yeah, but there were no live feeds. There were no live feeds. Okay, so, you know, let's just revisit that whole Victoria and Derek thing, because I have to give Victoria credit at least here, because she did do a good job with the plan that didn't benefit her too much at all. And she did make Frankie upset. Brian, did that play out pretty much the way it did on the live feeds on the show?
Yeah, and even before that part on the episode, there was that moment when Derek was explaining how this conversation he was having with Frankie, how he was basically telling Frankie he needed to take him to the final two, but not saying his name. But Frankie explained in the diary room right after that he understood what Derek was doing. And then this followed that, which maybe it does help Derek. And if it does, it's a really good move, even though it's not some big grand move as he was advertising it.
Okay. Yeah, I felt like you know, Derek does a good job with these things, you know, and especially like he's done a better job here down the stretch of setting up his game better in the diary room of like, so I'm going to go in and talk to Frankie. And I'm going to tell him this, but I'm not going to say this and I'm going to do this. I think that's one of the things that you really need to do well in Big Brother. And I think it's taken Derek about 2.5 months to figure out how to do it. But I think he's coming across really as the person who is the mastermind. And the edit is really hitting us over the head now, Mike, with the fact that Derek is the mastermind and there's nobody else that would even be an acceptable winner at this point.
I think the big catalyst was Donnie leaving. Because, I mean, you guys have talked about this countless times about how Derek was kind of two-faced in the diary room because I think he obviously knew that Donnie was one of America's favorites, but he also knew that it wasn't conducive. There he is, the man himself, who is hilarious tonight in the jury house, by the way. I'm sure we'll talk about that. But I think he realized Donnie really didn't fit in with his plans, but still he's in Team America. He's one of America's favorites. How can I still stay fairly popular? And that unfortunately caused a two-faced nature that ended his, you know, caused him to be unpopular. Once Donnie left, he was able to kind of vocalize more of his actual thinkings, and then his popularity has shot up somewhat. I mean, you know, if we check the feline feminine polls, I'm sure, I don't think he's in the top half, but I think he's still doing a little bit better across the board with casual fans than he has in the past.
I mean, I felt like the whole point of having Dan Gieseling here tonight on the show was to say, so, Dan Gieseling, Derek is the new you, right? Like, hey, isn't Derek exactly the new Dan? Didn't we make another Dan this season?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I feel it from Dan's perspective. I wouldn't want to go on to, you know, to something and somebody say like, hey, guess what? We brought you in here so you could talk about how this person is doing the exact same thing you did and now you're old.
This was just like that movie I seen with Mila Kunis where there was that one person that was the understudy and trying to take over that person's life.
You know, I was a ballet dancer. I went to the Royal Academy in Russia.
Oh my God, Caleb. I had no idea. That's so accomplished. But you know, I get it for Dan. It's also, you know, it's exciting to come back. But, you know, I feel like Dan was there for, you know, to help push, you know, in wrestling. I think they call that, you know, he put somebody over.
Mm-hmm. But so if that's the purpose behind Dan's, what was the purpose behind Rachel's appearance back in like halfway through the season?
You know, that I couldn't tell you. Just I think that's just pandering. I think at that point, you know, like let's have Jeff on, let's have Rachel on, let's get people. You know, and I think that Big Brother does a really good job with including the alumni, much better than Survivor. I mean, other than the rare finale appearance, you never see anything like that where it's like let's bring in somebody to host a competition or anything like that. So also, Big Brother has, you know, 3 shows a week with all that stuff. So let's talk about the jury house a little bit. When let's talk about, first off, we threw a birthday party for Zach. Brian, you had to have been pumped up to see.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. He got his hat, which was exciting for him and everyone else that missed seeing Zach in his pink hat. We do have a spoiler on the HOH.
Well, let's wait. Let's talk through everything from the episode. Then I'll hit the buzzer and we'll talk about the spoiler and the ramifications of the new HOH, which has been crowned tonight. And so, Brian, do you feel like has the Zach popularity this summer, since he's left the house, only continued to grow, Brian?
Yes. I don't see why not. I mean, he's a very likable character. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to say. He's just one of the more likable characters in the show. He's not as likable as Donnie.
But I feel like he has more popularity and more fanatical fans than Donnie does. Is that fair to say?
Well, he may not have made like huge moves in the game, but he obviously made some. He was a performer in the game.
which people appreciate a lot more than subtle game moves a lot of times.
Yeah, people really love Zach. Matt Hoffman tweeted a picture out today of, I guess, somebody got a tattoo on their wrist. It wasn't me. That said, at Rancy Pants, where they actually got put Zach's social media handle on it, on his hands. And Matt Hoffman had a funny tweet that he said, paging Dr. Will Kirby for this one. But Mike,
yeah, that was me.
Oh, it was you, Brian. You did it. Oh my God. Congratulations. Mike, can you think of somebody like this, that became so popular in the Big Brother house that is really in the jury house and almost forgot? I would say not even, you know, most recently, Frank Udy. I feel like Zach is way more popular than Frank is with fans.
Yeah, I mean, I've honestly, like, with Zach and Donnie, the people that I can think of that were, like, by far the most popular going back, I mean, maybe Brittany in BB12, but that was more of, like, a just because she was, like, quippy and funny. But besides that, the biggest, most popular people I can think of was Janelle and, you know, Howie, sort of, even though he kind of made some stupid moves all the way back in BB6. You know, Janelle was receiving America's Choice after America's Choice after America's Choice. If she was on the jury, I think, she was on the jury, but if she was in the middle of the jury, I think, like, it would have totally been another thing as well.
You know, I almost feel like a guy that we had on the show earlier this season of the podcast is like Kacer, where Kacer was like the first person, actually, did he not make the jury? Was that what it was?
No, he just missed out.
Okay. So he was out of the house. I'm trying to think of somebody who was like the first or second person on the jury who turned out to be the most popular person in the show.
Hmm.
And I don't know if we've ever had that before.
I don't believe so either. I'm trying to think through things now. I'm trying to fill my Ian role now by going through my Big Brother history.
Yeah.
Well, Crazy James, right? Crazy James was a really popular player.
But
wasn't he?
Crazy James, I don't believe, is popular like this. And
he won America's favorite player, didn't he?
He did.
I guess so, but that was a crazy season. I think you just got to throw all the results out on that one. Paul Borges in the chat is saying Big Jeff, but Big Jeff went out at like what, like final six or so, right, Brian?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. So
if final five and then final seven.
Okay, so we'll see. But anyway, so they threw a bone to all of the Zach fans for his birthday party. And speaking of birthday parties, let me just say a quick thanks to my lovely wife, Nicole, at Nicole Loves Shoes, I'm going to get her. That's what we're going to do for her birthday. I'm going to get her name, her Twitter name tattooed on my wrist. It is her birthday tonight. So not only does she allow me to podcast about Big Brother and other nonsense many nights out of the week, also she lets me podcast about Big Brother on her birthday. So very happy birthday to Nicole, who is a wonderful partner as a podcast host and in life. How about that, Brian?
Yes. Happy birthday, Nicole. We love you.
Yes. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Nicole. I'm trying not to make jokes that are going to end up getting me in trouble at some point. So we'll just go back to Big Brother. Okay. So and then in the jury house, we got to see everybody there. Okay. Brian, what'd you think of Jocasta's new hairdo?
I thought it was kind of amazing in a way. And then I saw her bow tie and her whole outfit, and then I kind of thought she looked like a clown for a second.
That's because you're seeing too many of the veto challenges.
Maybe, but it was good to see them.
It was like one of those mashups. It was like Jocasta's face with Amber's hair.
It was. Yeah, you're right.
I think they did a mashup. Oh my God. All right. So everybody is good friends in the jury house. And then we saw Nicole comes back. And so first, Hayden, who Mike, they must have so much conditioner in the jury house. I know it was a big deal in the house that Hayden wasn't taking showers, but his hair looked very luxurious as well.
I have a theory that Hayden borrowed Jocasta's straightener and broke it. So that explains both his straight hair and Jocasta's, you know, Whoopi Goldberg-esque do.
And then, okay, so they were hoping that Nicole wasn't going to be the one to come back, but then very quickly, guys, I'm back. Everybody was playing Big Baby. Nobody wanted to play Big Brother.
To show how despondent she was after that is a big indicator of like what this middle game was. I think it was just everyone just like single rank filing out, being like, well, that sucked. All right, let me relax here.
Yeah. Okay. So she ends up coming back in, but somebody else is coming into the house and they don't know who it is. And here comes Christine, and everybody sort of like just gives her the cold shoulder.
Well, it's also right when Donnie, like, mimics her laugh, and then she jumps out, and everyone's like, oh, that's classic Donnie, and they just, like, look at her, and they're like, you know, it's that classic Britney moment when she gets caught with the extensions, and she's like...
Yes. And for the podcast listeners, Mike was moving his eyes back and forth like a cuckoo clock.
Yeah, sorry about that, audio listeners.
Yes.
Like a Matt Hoffman with extensions.
Hoffman with extensions. Okay, so then Christine gets zinged pretty good by Donnie, right?
And Hayden, brutalized. Oh, it was ridiculous.
All right, so what was the Hayden quote?
Well, Hayden asked her if she has a thing for dinosaurs now.
Yeah. And Donnie said, well, Christine, I hope you have a good lawyer. Whoa.
Donnie did something else, too. Didn't he, like, point and laugh at her when something bad happened to her in the video?
Yeah, nobody liked Christine. Everybody was so hard on her. And then they ended up showing the video and showed what happened to Christine. And then Christine was like, you guys, I got booed. And
oh,
then,
that's what Donnie laughed at.
Yeah, and then Hayden says, well, obviously it was about the whole thing with Cody because the crowd doesn't boo gameplay. And I wonder if they would put that in there if that wasn't the voice of production. I feel like when people voice something that production feels, like if somebody said, like, oh, the reason why Christine got booed is because she's a, you know, a conspiracy theorist, and she thinks that the Cubans killed JFK, and that's what, like, if it was something that wasn't what they believed, I don't think that they would put it in the show. But because he vocalized what they believe to be the truth thing, I think that is what production is going with. What do you think of that theory? How about Mike?
I mean, it definitely makes sense. I think they have a lot to answer for with the boos. I feel like when it happened, it got a lot of mixed reactions. I've seen some people say, like, great, I'm glad the international versions do this. It's a much better way for people to kind of get the reception that they deserve. Some people are saying, no, that's way too cruel. So I think production's kind of covering their bases in a way by being like, well, just so you know, we're not necessarily encouraging this as a practice going forward. It's just something that happens when someone might be doing morally reprehensible things.
So, Brian, who do you think would get a better reception at the Big Brother finale? Christine or Roger Goodell?
Well, Christine will get nothing but booze, and no one will know who Roger Goodell is.
We'll see. Thursday night football. He could be... could be coming out tomorrow night. He could be coming out to an ovation of boos. Last Thursday was Christine. It could be Roger Goodell tomorrow night on CBS.
Thursday's on CBS. It's a cavalcade of boos.
Starring Christine and Roger Goodell. Oh, my God. Okay, so then Christine ends up... among other players, talking about how good Derek is. And we were really concerned last night that Derek might not be getting the respect that we thought he should be getting in the jury house. But it seems like, to a person, you know, everybody in the jury house is like, what, Derek was the mastermind. Frankie was good, but Derek was so good. So good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if I could compare it again to a Survivor situation, somewhat similar to Ozzie and Yule in Cook Islands, just because you have Derek, who's sort of the strategic man working behind the scenes, and then you have Frankie, who's been winning, as he touts, you know, 9 competitions or something like that. I mean, obviously, it's not going to come down to them in a final two, but I think it's very much representing the physical and the strategic aspects of the game.
Yeah. Does Derek need to win a comp or two to ice this down, Brian?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, I mean, look at Dr.
That
Will.
That could hurt him.
Dr. Will, you know, you can go back and look at his book. Most people, many people would say he's the number one guy. No comp wins for Dr. Will along the way. Unless, did he win competitions in All-Stars?
No.
Okay.
He took money every single time.
All right, good. Good. I just wanted to make sure I had my facts straight.
He almost won one veto in All-Stars, but then he broke his thumb doing so.
To make sure he didn't win. And so, yeah.
That's commitment to throwing it.
That is commitment. He's very committed. So you don't need the competition wins for the jury votes.
Depends. I mean, we're kind of living in the Rachel Riley era right now. You know, comp wins matter. People that don't do anything are considered floaters. I think it definitely shows something that I believe of the last 4 winners, they've all won at least 3 HOHs. I don't think Derek necessarily has a horrible record. He's won, I think, 3 HOHs and maybe 1 veto at this point. Someone can fact check me on that. But I think he's got like a sizable record. Granted, it's not Frankie's mogul status on competitions, but I think Derek has a resume at least.
Yeah. Can somebody win Big Brother in the 2014 era and not be a person who has won multiple competitions, Brian?
Yes, as long as the jury knows that person completely dominated them mentally throughout the entire game, which it seems like this jury is coming to that realization. Plus, they don't have the negative feelings of a bitter jury towards him. We aren't seeing those signs now. Maybe the people that he sends home the next week or so might have. Well, there's not another or so after next week, is there?
Okay, I don't believe so. You know, let's jump into talking about the spoiler stuff. I'm going to hit the buzzer, and then let's talk about the new HOH and those ramifications. All right, so here we go. Spoiler time. All right, now, this is for real now. This is not the week that doesn't count. This is the real, real. We're going, there's no do-overs. Okay? All right, Brian.
Exactly.
No do-overs. Who is the new HOH?
Beast Mode Cowboy won the Head of Household competition.
That's right. I'm back. I'm the king of this house, and I'm taking my crown. I'm on the throne. Kneel before Beast Mode Cowboy.
I till the soil.
Yes. Yes. And so on Seed Saw, Beast Mode Cowboy is your new champion. Do we think Frankie Grande will have a meltdown? Brian?
No, I still believe he'll probably win the power of veto. Caleb winning this HOH eliminates one thing from a redo possibility, and that's Derek trying to take out Caleb, so that's not going to happen again this week. So, I mean, I think it only increases the likelihood of Victoria leaving because Frankie will win the POV.
Okay, so the nominees will be who, Brian?
Victoria and Cody.
Victoria and Cody. Again, so it's a repeat. Is it just sort of like these were the nominations the first time? We're going to do the same nominations again.
I mean, unless he goes out and wants to target Frankie like straight up, which I think you would have to like keep that on the wraps, right? Like keep it on the back burner. Win veto, and you had the opportunity to backdoor him.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't put him on the block directly. I think. Well, then you have to put Derek on the block.
Well, you have Victoria to go up.
Yeah. So Victoria and Cody are gonna go up again, and then if you win the veto, because then if Frankie wins HOH next week, then it's entirely possible that he could put up Caleb in that spot. But I guess in Final Four, it really only matters who wins the veto.
Right, and we know that Victoria's not going to win this morph comp, so she has no shot at any comp. So she will be on the block when it comes time to for eviction.
Okay. Yes, I think that's absolutely correct. So, Mike, do you feel like, did Frankie do too much this week where he is certainly going to be the target if he does not win the veto?
I mean, he obviously didn't know this, but the fact that he won three back-to-back-to-back competitions and then gloated about it, granted to himself, but in general, I think very tantamount to make a case against Caleb to do it. I personally think that Caleb might think, all right, I should have backdoored him last time. I'm not going to take up that opportunity this time. And the fact that everyone's playing in the veto now anyways, there's really no reason to backdoor anybody. So I say Caleb just goes straight for the jugular and nominates Frankie outright. We'll see what happens with the veto. Again, I feel like with the veto, it might, if it's the same pictures, it'll just be a contest of who remembers them. But Derek could stand a chance of winning it, or even someone like Caleb. He did pretty well in the competition as well. And if that's the case, then if Frankie is kind of screwed.
What do you think, Brian? Is Frankie out if he does not win the veto?
Oh, well, he would have to be. He would have to be out unless something happens with this Victoria and Derek thing that they can't hold out this fake fight for long enough, or in the remaking up of their relationship, they get into more trouble and somehow gets a target put on Derek. I don't think Derek is like completely safe, but the possibility of things swinging and him becoming the target are very low.
I mean, is ultimately what's going to happen with these nominations what Derek wants? And if so, what does Derek want, Brian?
I would figure that Derek would want, I hate to say that he would want Cody on the block so that they could not get Frankie suspicious or whatever, but he'll want Victoria on the block.
Okay.
Is it Victoria and Frankie or Victoria and Cody?
I want to start to jump into your questions. So, Scott, let's start to fire up some of those questions. So, all right. So we know Caleb isn't going to go home. Is there any scenario where Derek can go home this week, Mike?
If you guys tout a lot of the situation that happened in the final four of Big Brother All-Stars when everyone kind of starts comparing notes, if Caleb decides to join up with Frankie and he nominates Cody and Victoria, let's say Caleb or Frankie or Cody wins the veto, Derek goes up and Frankie forces the tie and Caleb gets rid of Derek. I feel like unless it's a plan developed by someone like Caleb and Frankie, Derek's going to stay.
Okay. Brian, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I think that the only way that Derek could leave is if Victoria somehow manages to pull off the power of veto. And I think even if she did win the power of veto, Derek could convince her to stay on the block and get voted out.
Okay, so if Victoria wins the power of veto, let's not even entertain that because there's no chance that she can win. Even if she stared at the memory wall the entire week, the alleged photographer, I don't think that she could get a hold of this. Right, Brian? Am I being unfair?
No, you're not being unfair. I mean, unless they used the same pictures and she just remembers what they were.
I think if she did the same pictures or they did new pictures, there's no way she could do it faster than those guys.
No, you're absolutely right.
And yeah, if they did pictures of herself, she wouldn't be able to get it.
It would have to be, yeah, all pictures of, I don't even know if it was like celebrities, Frankie would get that. So I don't know exactly. And I'm trying to be fair to Victoria. I know a lot
they
of people
could put up a mirror in front if of it was her, a mirror. She would get it wrong.
A lot of people have said, you know, they really like Victoria, and I liked this the part where she was trying to trick Frankie tonight. I like that. I will say that between Victoria and Frankie with the screaming, I don't know whose shrill screaming gets under my skin more. Mike, how about you? If you had to listen to one of those people screaming, just like. Hey, we got a new toaster.
So had a little bit out of the bag. I went to college with Frankie.
Hold on. This is that you should have told me. Are the cameras on? Are you sitting down for this?
Yeah. Well, Ariane is in the other room, so you know.
Oh my god!
We hang out every Wednesday.
So, now there is a considerable age difference between you and Frankie Grande, right?
Yes, but he ended up graduating about 6 or so years before I did. But by the time I had entered school, the upperclassmen there had gone to school with him, and I have seen him a couple of times. My fiance, who went to the same school as us, has met him as well. So we like definitely know him. And I was the first one to reach out to my school through social media to get the news spread.
Okay. Oh my God. So you are in the entourage.
I am like the fifth string turtle in that entourage. Like I'm like in the way back of the limo.
Oh my God. Okay. This is huge. So are
we,
you,
we needed this.
So are you pulling for the Grande victory?
God, no, absolutely not. I abhor him.
Oh, well, you're a traitor.
A traitor to my alma mater. No, I mean, it's just, I've talked to a lot of people from my school and they have very, similar sentiments. I won't divulge any further because who knows who will be listening to this after they leave the house. But my point being that, his screaming just reminds me a lot of, I studied theater when I was in school and, that was definitely the mentality of a lot of people in the theater department, both men and women. So it definitely brings me back to a time where I could just wish I could just like get away. And I cannot imagine being stuck in a house where like, you know, you're sitting next to someone like, who reacts to everything like, and you know, dressed like Andre 3000 from Outkast. I think I would DOR.
Oh my goodness. Okay. All right, so let's get into some of the questions. Scott has got them fired up. And let's start with Patrick Caro. Get it kicked off here tonight. Who would Cody take to the end if he had to choose between his hitman best friend or his beatable beast mode cowboy? Well, I don't think that Cody thinks that the beast mode cowboy is beatable. Brian, what's your take on this? What would Cody do if it was a final three of Derek and Caleb?
Cody will take Derek because he feels like Derek is beatable and he would fear Caleb.
Yeah.
Because
you know,
he's got the comp.
I felt like the scene where Frankie was talking to Derek and Derek was sort of like, you know, hey, I kind of see you and Caleb and Cody. You're sort of like this. There's this unwritten threesome between the three of you guys. And Cody's tough to beat and Caleb's tough to beat. And Frankie was sort of like, you know, Derek is trying to make me feel like I can beat everybody, but I'm not convinced that Derek can't win that $500,000. And he's sort of saying it like, you know, like, he's not saying it like, you know, Derek's trying to tell me that those guys can't be beat, but make no mistake. If I go to the final two with Derek, Derek is going to win. He's making it sound like, you know, stranger things have happened than Derek winning Big Brother. So I'm not totally convinced that it can't happen. Right, Mike? Am I reading too much into that?
Yeah, it definitely seems like, even though we've apparently seen footage on the feeds of Frankie realizing that Derek could win, I think from what the edit seems, it seems like Frankie has kind of played Derek off a bit. But the edit does, again, come across like, wait a minute. Derek could win. Anyone could win. Jordan won. So like they're definitely underplaying him with the other players, whereas in the diary room it's like pump his edit up as much as possible.
Pump up Derek. Pump it up. Okay. Music fan 07058 wants to say, question about the jury video. Do they see the CBS show or something else? I'm wondering because you guys have mentioned the difference in live feeds versus the CBS show before, and the jury seems to know about Derek's game now. Well, I believe, and I've never been in the Big Brother jury, they see the clips that are from the CBS show, but not any of the confessionals. So I think they see what happened in the competition minus people talking about their thoughts. Brian, can you give us any insight into this?
I believe that they see ceremonies and comp clips.
Yeah, but not any diary room stuff during the competition. Like if you were going to clip
correct
out, you know, In this competition, I'm trying to go and take the ball from the one side of the seed and then put it on my thing without falling over. So all that stuff is cut out, right?
Yes. Also, like voting, and we saw in season 9 that after someone was voted out, we saw Adam and what's his name, like, communicate in some way behind everybody. And that actually was shown to the jury, and it affected the way that they voted in the end game.
Okay. Let's go to Niraj Yoshi, who says, did this week's twist expose anyone's game or change the target on anyone's back? Okay, well, we talked about, did Frankie play too hard in the week that didn't count? Brian, can you think of anybody else that maybe had exposed themselves?
Not really. I think the biggest danger was Derek exposing himself, and he kind of lucked out with Frankie being the guy. He could have they could have exposed himself with Caleb if they had been able to backdoor Caleb. So it just kind of worked out perfectly for Derek where he didn't expose himself. Plus, he covered with Victoria miraculously. So I think he did a very good job during a week that could have blown his entire game up.
Okay. Let's take a question from GraveGuy18. How do you think they will replay the veto comp? I mean, obviously, they can't use the same pictures, can they? Let's take a quick poll on that. Mike, same pictures or new pictures?
I'm going to say new pictures. I think they're going to go with same competition, but as if you're playing them completely fresh, so they're going to use new pictures. Plus, yes. I mean, the Photoshop editors at CBS must be chomping at the bit to make new mangled photos.
Yes, I think this is like getting a new deck of Cards Against Humanity. Brian, what do you think?
It would be kind of interesting if they just used the same picture setup, but just changed the face, the facial.
Yeah, I think new pictures.
Right.
Yes.
You have to change it somehow. You can't have identical copies.
Let me know in the chat room also as we're going along. What do you guys think? New pictures or same pictures? I think it'll be new pictures. Okay. Bonnie Stonewall wants to say, why did they not just do the week in one night? I really thought they wouldn't. I was so excited. Why not? Well, the problem is that we added an extra week onto Big Brother, and I think that we thought, okay, well, they're adding another week, so that's why somebody came back into the house. But even with somebody coming back into the house, we still have a lot of Big Brother episodes to go and still only 5 people. So I wonder if maybe having one less double eviction, maybe if instead of a double eviction, they should have just done this and then had a like similar to a double eviction this week. Mike, what do you think?
I mean, I think a big quick fix to this is just do less days, but I guess, you know, that what's done cannot be undone. I think a good fix to it, yeah, would have just been, I don't think bringing somebody back had a huge effect on the game. If they wanted to make it the twistiest season ever, they could have done bring back another person as well. If they brought back 2 people, one, I don't know, pre-jury, one post-jury, and then had added another double eviction on top of that, they could have made things a lot more exciting.
Redemption Island?
They'll duel. Redemption Garage.
Redemption Garage. Oh, my God. All right, let's go to Reality Comp Nerd, who says, was the biggest play Victoria made this season fake crying for Derek's game? Bigger game move, Brian. Cutting up Zach's hat or faking her crying to Frankie for Derek?
Faking crying for Derek, because even if because like the cutting of the hat does nothing for her game except like just sack off. But even if something happens this week and she stays, she's done Derek a solid. And I mean, if she doesn't do this for him, if she screws up his game, it's better for her to help Derek out.
Yeah. Okay. Ryan DeHoff says, how do you think Victoria's outburst will affect the nominations this week at all? Mike, do you think there will be any fallout from that? I don't think there will be.
Are you referring to her crying or her screaming about how she needed to get to her suitcase?
Give me my suitcase. I tweeted that Victoria was more mad about not having her suitcase than being kicked out of the house, and people were all over me saying,
imagine
like,
if she went out during the double eviction, she would have left without a suitcase at all.
Yes. No, people were jumping down my throat on Twitter because they said she needed her clothes for the competition. Like, all right, all right. She's such a competitor.
I mean, I honestly think that these people are so paranoid at this point, especially someone like Frankie and Cody, that they're going to take Victoria's whole thing at face value. I don't think they honestly think that Victoria would like throw something away just for this, because Derek, you know, was being coy with her and wouldn't want to save her. And I think even if they did, like, they knew that they probably sent her to jury and she'd get over it and vote for him in the end anyway. So I really think they're still going to believe that they're a tight pair.
Okay, let's take a couple more questions. Lance Davis wants to say, what did you guys think about Donnie's comment to Christine about her needing to get an attorney after being done with the season of BB? Hilarious. Well, I think the funniest part of it was that it came from Donnie, because Donnie is the nicest guy. He doesn't really zing anybody. And then for that to come from him, I think was the funniest part of that. Right, Mike?
Yeah, I think it's clear. We all have these friends, you know, friends in our lives that are like such a super nice person, but then there's like one thing or one person that just really pisses them off. And for Donnie, that's Christine, who, you know, has been calling him creepy and has hated him since a while back into the game. So I just love as part of Donnie's character that he's so nice to everybody and has good things to say about everyone, except basically Christine and a little bit of Frankie as well.
Okay. And let's do one last question from Niraj Yoshi. Did this week's twist expose anyone or change the target on anyone's back? Well, we've talked about that a bit, that it has not really changed too much in terms of anything, except for Frankie's been exposed as a bit more of a threat after his back-to-back wins in the HOH and the veto competition. So, okay. Oh, it was a fake out. That was the practice last question. Okay, here's the real last question. Push the button. By the way, we didn't talk about it in the rewind montage. It was almost like the Superman flying around the Earth backwards thing that they showed. And I was shocked that they included Jeff getting up from being on one knee with the ring box. Mike, isn't that very confusing to include in the montage of backwards things, Jeff unproposing to Jordan?
I equated it more to that scene in Spaceballs where they put the video in and they fast forward it. So I wanted to get to a point where like they get to now and they had the whole exchange of like, when is this? This is now.
What happened to then? We just passed it.
Off the Big Brother.
Yes. It was really very crazy that they did that. Brian, are Jeff and Jordan by Big Brother law, are they still engaged?
Yes, because if they're not, then, and I say that, someone will try to kill me.
Okay, good. Well, I was saying that think of the ratings bonanza that CBS could have if Jeff and Jordan have to go back into the house this Sunday and have another engagement. Who is the guy that's saying there? Eldridge.
Oh, Brett Eldridge.
Somebody get Brett Eldridge on the line. We need an emergency reproposal.
Team America have to do the rat mission.
Hold on. Was it a joke? Was it a joke? Like, love, I'm telling you, it wasn't a joke. But they said on the show that it was back. No, seriously, it wasn't a joke, and it really happened, and it didn't get a rewind. You're still engaged. Are you sure? Was it a joke? Hours and hours at Big Jeff's house tonight.
Are they going to come back into the house and do it again?
Yeah, I agree with Brian. I want to see them try to pull off the rat thing again. Like, oh no, there's another rat.
There's another rat. Another America's Choice. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh, didn't Julie say the jury was coming in?
Yeah, why is the jury coming into the house, Brian?
It has to be something cop-related, because I don't imagine they would let them come in and talk openly game. There has to be some kind of monitoring going on.
I don't know. This seems like a little bit more pandering. It's like, hey, we know you guys love Zach and Donnie. Well, they're coming back in the house. Right? It's got to be. And then no other season they ever let the jury back in, right, Mike?
Aside from them coming back to compete, I think the only like thing that was comparable to it was season 10 when Dan won the opportunity to sit down with one juror, and he chose Portuguese Michelle, the one that quacked weirdly at Jace.
Yes, Princess.
Portuguese Princess. So maybe they'll do something similar. Maybe they'll do like some sort of... The winner of the veto competition gets to sit down with one of the jurors in the house and talk through things. And maybe that's why the whole jury is there. But of course, you know, it's going to be 5 minutes of everyone hugging as they always do.
Will they let them have that much interaction in the house?
They did it when they were bringing them back into the game.
I guess
they, let them through the front door and everyone was hugging.
I guess they felt like, well, nothing happened then, so why not? You might as well.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So the last question from Shannon Lashley. She says, Rob, I honestly think the jury house is way more entertaining than the BB 16 house. Any speculation as to what the jury members are going to do on Sunday? Host? Stir up stuff? Hopefully the latter. It's a good question, and it happens to be exactly what we're talking about, so perfectly timed. So I would think, well, what's going to be on Sunday? It's going to be the end of the HOH competition that we already saw play out. So that's going to be the first part of the episode. And then it's going to only go up to nominations. So I feel like I can't imagine that there's going to be a competition unless it's some sort of a luxury competition. Is there, Brian, can you think of anything why they would bring them back?
Maybe they just want Zach to steal Victoria's extensions and cut them up.
Oh, no. She needs those. She needs extensions. I think that it will infuriate her, though, when she sees that Big Brother provided him with a new pink hat. Right, Brian?
No.
You don't
Why
think
is it
going
to infuriate her?
She'll say, I cut it
yes,
up.
Yes, it's going to infuriate her. She's going to flip out. She's like, I destroyed his hat, and now you have to buy another one.
Oh, my goodness. All right. All right. So we're going to start to wrap this up here tonight. Okay. So a lot coming up here in the next couple of days on the Rob Has a Podcast. So no show tomorrow night, but then we'll be watching the 2-hour finale of The Quest. And then Kurt Clark and I on Friday afternoon are going to be recording that podcast talking about it. Mike Bloom, you have a pick for the one true hero?
I'm very much with you guys in terms of it's going to be Andrew versus Shondo, and I love Shondo as a character, so I have to go with Shondo.
Is Shondo the Zach of The Quest?
I'm gonna definitely compare Bonnie to Donnie, so I think that comparison holds. I would say, yeah, I mean, I guess I'd call him the Zach, and I call Andrew maybe like the Cody, like, you know, a little more mild mannered.
So many people have no idea what we're talking about.
No,
Sean, Zach is like Elvis.
Oh, Zach's like Elvis?
Yeah, he just shakes his hips around and like people swoon.
Oh my God. Shondo, if he gets to the final two, he could be like, listen, you Fruit Loop dingus, I need the dubs. Give me the dubs. Give me the dubs.
You know, with his like intense stare as he's staring Verlox's his army down.
Yeah. Verlox is like Christine. He'll get booed at the finale also. All right. So that's going to be the finale of The Quest, which takes us into on Friday night. Nicole, the birthday girl herself, will be live with me to preview the Big Brother 29 cast and talk about everything coming up on Big Brother. That show will be live.
Survivor?
But it's, yes. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. What, I said Big Brother 29?
Did we fast forward about
yes.
13 years?
Yes, we got out the remote control from Spaceballs. You idiot. You fast forwarded 13 seasons. No, so we're going to talk about Survivor 29 preview. It's going to be a live show. It's going to be on video, but it's going to be late for you guys on the East Coast. We're going to be doing it at midnight Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific, because if you want a podcast with Nicole, we have to wait until the baby goes to sleep. So that's what the deal is with that. So, hey, if you go out on the East Coast and you come home, we're just going to be getting started. If you're going to be home on Friday night on the West Coast, come and join us live. And that's going to be on Friday night. And then we get ready for next week's jam-packed week of Big Brother, when we're going to have a Big Brother show Sunday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and then I am still debating when we're going to do the show to recap the Friday episode. That may be Friday night, or I may end up pushing it to Sunday night, even though there's no episode Sunday night, depending on the guest that I'm working on for that show. So stay tuned on that one. And then, of course, we are starting to gear on up here in September with all of Survivor and Amazing Race right around the corner. So very, very jam-packed show. Plus, Kurt Clark and I are going to be touching a base to talk about Utopia over the weekend as well. So a lot of reality TV on, a lot of interesting stuff to talk about. Now, Mike, I know that you are co-hosting with Kurt Clark over on post-show recaps on Once Upon a Time. What do you guys have in store on the Once Upon a Time podcast? And tell us also why people should check out a Once Upon a Time podcast.
So actually, right after we finish this, I'm going to hop onto a call with Kurt to record our season 2 recap. We are going to be recording episode recaps of the new season, but we figured in the vein of 24 and a little bit of Game of Thrones season 3 that we do season-long recaps. It's also a nice opportunity for Kurt and I to catch up with the seasons. We both kind of dropped off at a certain point. So I'm really excited to be talking about that. And then we'll be doing a season 3 recap in a couple of weeks. I would say Once Upon a Time is a really, really interesting show. It combines a lot of different elements. It's an ABC show, so it's a little... It's not necessarily family-friendly, but it's very high morality standards, which can be really interesting. It's very Lost-esque in terms of the themes of good and evil, you know, parenthood, motherhood, fatherhood. It's a lot of fun to just talk about and wrap your head around certain characters. There's definitely a lot of points to poke fun at, which is something that I really enjoy as well. I would definitely encourage all of you who have not listened, who are interested, listen to our season 1 recap. We just started a feed of it on iTunes and it's on post-show recaps right now. Check it out. And if you get a good feeling about the show when you want to find out more about it, definitely start watching it and start listening to the podcast as well. I have a lot of fun with Kurt and I think it's a really fun show to dissect. It might not be, the most, you know, highfalutin Breaking Bad type of TV, but it's still a lot of fun to talk about.
And we've got a lot going on with post-show recaps. We also just launched new podcast this week for the final season of Sons of Anarchy, which I'm co-hosting with Josh Wigler, and then also for the final season of Boardwalk Empire, which Jeremiah Panhorst and Antonio Mazzaro just kicked off this past week. So if you are watching the serialized TV as well, a lot going on postshowrecaps.com. All right, so that's going to do it for Big Brother here tonight. We'll be back on Sunday to talk about the Sunday night episode. Hope you guys can join us live, 9:15 p.m. Eastern. Watch for any delays from the football on Sunday because there is a CBS doubleheader, I believe, and so could be postponed a little bit. Hopefully not like that week where it was a two-hour delay with the golf, right, Brian?
Yes, but we made it through it.
We made it, but it was annoying.
It always is, but...
A little bit. All right, so...
We're lucky we didn't get bumped by the president's address today. So.
No, well, the president was on at the same time as us. We went on at the same time as the president, so we couldn't get bumped. But luckily, they record all that. You could DVR it, and you can watch it after the fact. Okay, so that being said, have a great night, everybody. And again, happy birthday, Nicole. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye.